Good morning, Metroplex. We are live with the Friday edition, the July 4th Friday edition of Sean and RJ. This is a replay of the Sean and RJ show. We will be back on Monday live from Oxnard. No, it's not a replay. We are live, and it is not July 4th, despite RJ Choppy's outfit on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube.
It's for the Hulkster, brother. That's what this is for.
You should have a white mask over your face.
I tried to put a bandana on. I have a very short head. I don't look good. I have no neck, and I have a short head. I don't look good in a bandana. So I couldn't. I couldn't have, because Sarah had a American flag bandana and everything. But just didn't look good on me. Didn't look good on me. So I got to rock with the regular American flag shirt, and then the Bogey Bros American flag hat. The eagle, the bald eagle. So let's go. Hulkster, baby.
Get on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube with the homage to Hulk Hogan, who passed away yesterday from cardiac arrest at the age of 71. And this one kind of hit hard.
Oh, it hit hard. I think I was sitting in the gym and when I saw this, it was a Pate that sent it, and it was just a stutter. Just like one of those, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, kind of hit. Like, it was, okay, this can't be real. He's only 71. I just saw him. He did an interview like a month ago. Like, he looked like he was fine. But, yeah, this thing kind of cuts at the core. It's your childhood.
Yeah.
For me, it's the childhood. My childhood is officially over. I'm 45 years old. Childhood officially ended.
You know, I was thinking about this, and I was telling myself, don't go overboard. But I was trying to think of the athletes that formed childhood the most for me. And I might put Hogan 2, like all time in my childhood athlete. I know Bobby's going to come in and we're going to make our wrestling jokes with Kevin Hagelin or whatever. But I it wasn't one particular football player. Right, because I love Jim Kelly, and then you go over to the Washington football team and all that stuff. So it wasn't like particularly one person, but Michael Jordan, Hulk Hogan, right there as iconic figures while growing up. I remember, my dad, this very prestigious cardiologist in town, continuing to drop us off Friday night at the video store to go in to see whether the latest Royal Rumble came out on tape. And I remember just like amazing childhood memories going back home, me and my brother and my dad sitting in my room watching Survivor Series. And it was just fun. It's like dad likes wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, we're sitting there with the Macho Man and the Undertaker and the Ultimate Warrior. And every single Friday, because we didn't know when, it would come out on tape. Mm-hmm. We'd sit there and get dropped off so the cardiologist didn't get embarrassed walking into the video store, send his kids in to rent the VHS.
It was, it was Jordan, it was him, and for me, and Don Mattingly. Like, those were the three athletes of, like, my childhood. Griffey. But Griffey was, like, a distant fourth because I didn't get to see him all the time because he played in Seattle. And back then, there was no baseball package. And Hogan was on every Saturday, and this even before Monday Night Raw. It just... like 40% of my childhood memories are Hulk Hogan.
And Peyton, you passed the early test. I put in the audio Hulk Hogan music, and I wanted to see what you would actually pick since you and Bobby did not know the Hulk Hogan song about a month ago. Bobby, did this do anything for you?
No. I mean, like, he's I obviously know Hulk Hogan's, like, stature and who he is, but, this is like just on the tail end of my consumption of wrestling or sports or anything else. Cause I really started getting into when I started watching wrestling at all for a couple of years, that was like 2000. And so like you're exited out of the Hulk years and stuff like that. But yeah, obviously like you know all the caricatures and like the societal impact, the social impact that he has. And then just what was a little bit of an up and down last 15 years or so in the media, just with different things relating to Gawker and his divorces and stuff with his kids and
racism.
That too. It's a complicated finish to what was, like you said, somebody who was held up as like the god. Like he was the god in a lot of kids' childhood of just like, that is my star. I adore this guy.
You may as well go back to the music, Pepe, and just go ahead and keep it on. I thought you did the best job of explaining how you're separating Choppy, because I even felt weird like posting anything of significance on Facebook with any type of comments, because Twitter had the hate. A lot of Facebook tolos had the hate. I get it. So it's kind of a dangerous thing to sit here and just praise and honor him throughout an entire Friday program. And I thought you kind of separated the last night in your email.
He's a complicated legacy. There's no doubt about that. He was a jackass. And he was a horrible wrestling teammate. He refused to put guys, they call it over. He refused to put guys over.
And what does that mean?
Like, all right, so.
Like, let them win the title?
Just say, for the lack of a better, let them win, right? Let them win. Hulk had creative control a lot of times, especially at WCW.
They're not saying before the match who wins?
They were, yeah. But, like, he would say, yeah, that's not going to work for me, brother. Like, that's the old famous quote. Like, the joke yesterday on social media is he wouldn't even put Ozzy Osbourne over. He was that big of a jerk, he wouldn't even put Ozzy over. Who died, like, right before him, right? But, yeah, it also goes beyond that. Like, if he was fighting The Rock, and The Rock wanted to do his rock bottom, like, you can't just lift somebody who's 300 pounds that easy. Hulk would have to help him to get up. Hulk wouldn't do that, right? He wouldn't help. He wasn't very helpful. He was kind of a jerk. As a kid, you don't know that.
Yeah.
Right? You don't care. So, he nailed his best friend's wife. Like, he's genuinely...
The Macho Man stuff? Elizabeth? Or Bubba the Love Sponge?
I thought it was Bubba the Love Sponge.
Okay. Bubba the Love Sponge.
Are we going real or fake? Yeah, him and Bubba the Love Sponge
were
They were close.
You know, like, one of the biggest egomaniacs, said some very racist things at the end. And for me, that doesn't take one bit away from my childhood, because those memories are already there.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. Like, this is why I'm like...
It's like me with Theo the other day. Like, when I went back to the Cosby Show highlights, I wasn't making sure I hit stop because Bill was on there. Mm-hmm. I'm like, it's the Cosby Show. Like, I want to still enjoy the Cosby Show. I like Seinfeld reruns despite what Michael Richards, a.k.a. Kramer, did.
Yeah.
I'm able to separate it for the most part.
I am, too. And, like, you know.
Morgan Wallen has a good song on and the pool party's rocking, I'm not going to hit skip.
Right.
I don't like Morgan Wallen as a person, but
I'm
going to try to...
I don't think Morgan Wallen likes Morgan Wallen as a person.
I don't know.
But, you know, it's... this is why I was like, I don't have a problem with Rob Manfred calling the trophy a piece of metal. Because, like, the memory is what you're winning. That's what, as a fan, you win. You win the memory. And, you know, the Hulkster gave millions of memories to me as a kid. So that's what... I can't take that away. Despite the fact that he did all those things and he refused to help out Bret Hart and he wouldn't put them on, he wouldn't put Shawn, none of those guys, which I have my own thoughts on, because it's like, you know, I look at, well, get too nerdy. I look at the heavyweight, at the champion. I don't think Bret Hart would have been a good champion. He was 6 feet tall. I need a larger than life guy.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want some excellence of execution, you know, stick it.
Yeah,
you know, I want the big, big guy.
Stature.
Yeah, I don't want the hitman. I want Shawn Michaels to be the champ. So I was like, all right, fine. I always stood up for Hulk then.
Yeah, I don't know. It's so, because that is one of the things you saw yesterday. People talking about the complicated legacy. And it's like, it's hard for me to reason that, obviously not growing up with it. If I grew up with it, it'd probably be different. It's hard for me to reason it because I look at it and I go, What is his positive legacy? His positive legacy is something that was written, something that was not his anyway. He was just the actor. He was the performer. It's like talking about Russell Crowe's legacy of what? He was good in Gladiator? Like, I mean, it doesn't...
But he had to have the charisma.
Sure.
You have to be able to promo it.
Yeah.
You have to be able to act it 100%.
Out. 100%. And that's why I said, like, that's why it is still just like actors can have good performances. He had good performances in that sense. And he was somebody who... was very charismatic and had that. So not having lived that, like not having lived through it, I lived through The Rock, so I can understand The Rock, but having not lived through it, it's harder for me to reconcile the idea with what he was, because I don't know what he was in terms of living it.
Yeah, his legacy to me, we're the legacy definers here on the show.
Sure.
He is the most famous, biggest, greatest wrestler of all time. He's the one seed. It's not close. Like, wrestling doesn't happen without Hulk Hogan. They rode him to prominence and pay-per-views. I think he was in like 7 of the first 8 WrestleManias. He's the Michael Jordan of wrestling.
Yeah.
Just flat out, period.
Oh, for sure. And like, there is no... The WWE and WCW had their wars, but when Hulk started in this, it was like every little city had their own wrestling, you know, and
you should go and watch the Vince McMahon Netflix today or tonight if you get a chance. A lot of it is focusing on Vince's downfall, but just the growth, the development, the scandal, the drama of wrestling. I mean, I find it fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, it was like it was little pockets everywhere.
Because they're some dirty dogs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There were some little pockets. Each kind of region had their own professional wrestling. Hulk started in, like, Florida Championship Wrestling, whatever it is. And then, you know, basically because of him and Vince, like, it all became one. And they gobbled up everybody else. And we were talking about a guy who was probably bouncing around 300 days a year from 1980 to mid-90s. Yeah. 300 days a year wrestling.
And then... Unfortunately for him and myself, that all started to change for me when I watched his reality show and you see the drama with his wife and his kids. I don't know if they even spoke to him as of yesterday.
Or right I don't think. I thought he was daughter. Estranged from Brooke
yeah.
for the last couple of years.
And she used to date Phil Costa here. Was that it? Was it Brooke Hogan or Phil Costa?
I think so.
And then you get the reason that Hulk Hogan blocked me on social media. That would be the use of the N-word in talking about his daughter's dating life and getting recorded in a video made public by the National Enquirer saying, I guess we're all a little bit racist. Then the WWE scrubbed him. They're like, you never existed here. Get out. They eventually welcome him back, but he was dropping the N-word multiple times saying, hey, if you're going to sit there and date blank, make sure he's got $10 million and he's 8 foot tall. It just outright racist. So I'm not going to sit here and fight you on whether you want to celebrate Hulk Hogan or not. I'm going to go ahead and start off sticking to the wrestling memories growing up, and then you can talk about him separately, maybe as a bad guy and maybe as a racist.
Yeah, and like I said, that's where my disconnect is always going to exist, because you guys got to grow up in like the peak days of wrestling, where it was like it was still theater and also like not a total understanding yet. I don't think by that point of what was real versus what was fake all the time, and so like there was more emotional investment in it than I grew up with the WWE or WWF. What I grew up with, it was everybody knew cards on the table what this was, which was a presentation. And so that's the harder divorce for me, is just the idea of like what you did wasn't even real. Like this legacy that we talk about and what you built, it's like it's not even something that's technically real.
Give me the top three moments. 1-2-3-877-881-1053. Franco, injury attorney text line.
Number one's not even close.
NWO.
That's the most...
Straight out of Compton.
Yesterday, like a nerd, I took about 30 minutes and went down Hogan and the biggest heel turn highlights, the biggest wrestling pops, as I was just watching videos.
The Bash of the Beach.
I had to justify to Amanda. She's like, why are you watching wrestling from the 80s? I'm like, well, Hulk Hogan died.
I had Julian watch the Hogan Rock WrestleMania yesterday. He was making fun of it the whole time. but when he
get back to scrubbing, kid.
I know, right? He did the floors yesterday, mopped the floors.
Well done.
His heel turn, that was the most shocking moment in the history of sports. It's not even close. There's nothing. I mean, just the Luka trade wasn't even a silent fart in the history of sports.
I think you got to put Slamming the Giant up there, top
That's
three.
That's up there.
That was just like a monumental. Yeah. Oh my God, no one could ever do this.
Yeah, and then three is probably maybe The Rock, maybe his match with The Rock or returning to WCW or WWE after he left WCW. But that heel turn at Summer Bash, or was it Bash at the Beach? Or
my three, my three is the Warrior match. Like, I felt like a heartbroken kid watching him lose to the Ultimate Warrior. That was the battle of the Titans. Hogan versus Warrior. But there it is. Hulk Hogan dead at the age of 71 from cardiac arrest. Your text messages throughout the entire show here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Sean Tarif, RJ Choppy, and Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. We are heading out to California on Sunday, but they had another practice yesterday, and that second round pick that every one of our scouts loved in the building is starting to show up in Cali. Inside the Star for your Cowboys practice recap next on The Fan. Yesterday from afar until Sunday when we're out there, my favorite Dallas Cowboys practice so far this training camp. Good morning, Metroplex. We're taking you inside the Star on the Home of America's team, brought to you by on-time experts Rhino Shield and Yardbird Southern Table and Bar. It's DFW Sports Station with Sean RJ and our Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. They were getting after each other. I love the S talking. To me, this was the perfect balance, taking it up to the line that Brian Schottenheimer had described in the offseason of competition and scrapping back and forth. It started with Dak Prescott riding that broomstick, which I think will be the new warm-up, whatever we call this, back and forth, the hip turn.
Which, by the way, when I have tried to describe to you guys how college raucous it is during the OTA practice, that's the workout thing they do at the beginning. So, like, he doesn't always have a broom that he's jumping, but they're jumping and do it like they're going nuts and like going through those bags. That's the thing we were
it's like,
yo,
Gabba Gabba.
Sure. Yeah, I won a championship.
I don't go know. Crazy. It's a children's show.
I know the show. I don't know anything about it.
That's what they do. Go crazy. Go crazy.
They were going crazy at each other. Dak threw a touchdown to Lamb. He and, is it Kamon Hall?
Keeman.
Keeman Hall. They get into it, Hall shoving Lamb. I love that. After a couple of incompletions, Dak threw a touchdown to Pickens. He let the sideline know, putting up his hands, and they were like, get the hell out of here. Run back to the huddle. Milton fired one into a small window to Turpin while on the move. He leaned up against the sideline fence. I do this. Quote, look at God. Ezeraku would have had a sack on a speed rush. He held off. Malik Hooker made the one-handed interception. DeMarvion Overshown and the entire football team escorted Malik Hooker down the sideline going absolutely crazy. So that was just some of the back and forth with the spirited practice and the trash talking that went along with it.
Yeah, this is the environment they're trying to create. And again, it's we don't want anybody to think that we're saying, this is clearly like this is 2-3 games difference now off of our original projections. Like this is a Super Bowl contender because they're getting chippier. But these are the things you look for when, to me at least, I think division, whether subtle or loud, has been a problem for this team for years. And it helps to see, all right, there's some nice chippy competitiveness and everybody seems to be trying to elevate the other person next to
them. I heard some people who have been around for a long time say, now look, we're always going to see like a team celebration, a gang celebration after a turnover and everyone hooping and hollering because things get intense with the back and forth reps. But I heard some people say who have been around this for about 20, 30 years say that type of atmosphere that they experienced yesterday, they did not remember feeling or seeing during the McCarthy camps. We'll see what it actually leads to. But one of the main guys actually, let's hear from Dak Prescott on the fighting at camp and going back and forth.
I think it's a good thing. I don't think there's necessarily they. I mean, maybe one of them we had some punches going, but other than that, I mean, it's football. It's high emotions. You got guys out here practicing and competing for their life, competing for jobs. You've got to have that edge. I think that's a difference. That's the difference right there is how passionate these guys are. I mean, they're being taught and being told to compete every day, and some guys compete different ways, right? And I think when you put that together at times, you're going to have those disagreements, you're going to have those frustrations, but they've been doing a good job of, for the most part, viping each other up, looking in the face and realizing, okay, this is my teammate. I'm not going to take it there. And just as important as that, understanding that you can't take it there on game day either. So learning from it, controlling the emotions at the same time of being competitive. I mean, Coach says it all the time, we can be competitive without being combative. So I think it's a fine line, and I think we're flirting with it, and I think that's healthy.
Sounds like Dak needs some Zyrtec. Battling some allergies.
You get out there. It's first couple of days in there. If you're not on the Zyrtec,
Yeah, move on.
You know, the new all the new pollen, the new trees, the new fauna.
Ugh.
All the new flora and fauna out there.
I'm way better in California with my allergies than here. I go out there, it's like I don't need allergy medicine at all when I'm in California.
Why don't you just move there?
I mean, you know, they're trading us enough of theirs. So.
Whoa.
No, this is I find it interesting that the line about competitive but not combative, because you remember we played those clips from that Collision Low Crossers book where we talked about that was an issue for the Jets. Was that they were competitive, but it became combative, and it almost became offense and defense hated each other. And it became something where it was like that side of the building and we got our side of the building. And that created some natural tension. So if they're able to walk that fine line a little bit better, and now it's competitive, but they're still like it's rooted in support and love for each other as teammates and different things like that, then that sounds like that would be one of the changes or one of the things Schottenheimer has learned in the 15, 20 years.
All this is very fickle and subjective on how you look at it. If you like the coach, this is competitive. If you don't, this is a lack of control. If you like the coach, the fun is a loose, fun camp. If you don't like the coach, this is they don't take anything seriously. And that's how fickle these training camps are, because there's nothing else to go on.
Sometimes. I don't know that I agree totally, because, I mean, I loved the Diggs-Dak interaction from 2 years ago when they go to the sideline and they're chirping at each other, that clip that went viral. I wanted more of that during McCarthy camps. And I was not a McCarthy fan, but when that happened, I was like, no, this isn't McCarthy losing control of his practice at all. They need more of this.
The player that seemed to be getting the most praise yesterday, and he was working with Charles Haley in the pass rushing drills, Donovan Ezeraku. Nick Karras tweeted, getting reps with the ones and is dominating once again today.
He is the cleanest technician. He is the most pro-ready pass rusher that came out in the draft. Like, there are other guys who have higher ceilings, who are better athletes, who do other things better. I mean, you know, you've got a bunch of guys that went ahead of him that you would look at and say, well, if he's the best, why'd he go there? We're just talking about that one skill set of get to the passer and sack him, and the traits you need for that. Donovan Ezeraku was the best that was available in this draft, and he's somebody that I've said it for the last couple months. I think he's baseline minimum 6 sacks as a rookie, just because he's somebody who, when brought into situational pass rushing and being able to just pin his ears back and go, he's going to be really tough for guys to block up at the NFL level because of how elusive he is, how slippery he is, and some of the stuff that's in his toolbox.
Defense had 3 interceptions on the day. They continue to take the ball away. And Terrence Steele not practicing with a right ankle. I thought Jerry sprained his feelings. That's the reason out there.
It's, and they were saying it's nothing super serious is what it sounded like yesterday. But it just always gives you a little bit of pause, because Terrence Steele has been banged up the last couple of years. He's had issues with injuries. But there's nobody who needed the coaching staff change more than Terrence Steele on the entire team. And he's somebody who needs to spend time with this new staff and get him right and, you know, build back up his confidence and let him know, like, hey, this is a coaching staff that thinks you're good and wants you here, which is not always the case, or not always what he felt, I don't think, with the last coaching staff. So any amount of time missed with him and this new coaching staff leading up to things, I think is detrimental. So hopefully he gets back out there quickly. It's nice that it doesn't sound like it's anything major, because if that lingers too much, that's not going to be good for their line cohesion.
Calvin Watkins with more of a practice recap. The Cowboys will have a rotation at D tackle, but Solomon Thomas has been the standout so far. Recorded 2 strong QB pressures against Tyler Smith. Joe Milton continues to get more reps than Will Greer.
Right.
Milton had a better day 3 than days 1 and 2. Cavante dropped a touchdown pass from Dak that hit him right in the chest. Outside of that, he had a strong camp. And I saw a pretty sweet Deuce Vaughn highlight in which it looked like he was shot out of a cannon. And Calvin said he looks good catching the ball out of the backfield as well.
And that's one of the things that you're going to want out of the running backs. They want somebody who will catch the ball. Javonte Williams, that's a big reason why he's here. He was somebody who was a good pass catcher out of the backfield. You've got, that's a Deuce Vaughn skill set. Jaden Blue is somebody who people think can run routes out of the slot. Like, he's that type of talent when it comes to running routes and catching the football. And then you've got Miles Sanders, who at different points in his career has been a big-time contributor as a pass catcher. And so, yeah, Deuce Vaughn being able to show some of that is going to be big for him. And when he worked in the slot a little bit last year, like did some practice reps there, that was a Schottenheimer idea at the end of 23, that he was like trying to figure out, all right, how do we keep you here? And how do we start trying to diversify you a little bit? And that was what they wanted him to do. So being able to catch the ball will increase his chances of being able to stick around.
Dak held his media session, and it seems like every big star can give advice contractually to Micah Parsons and how to deal with it. And Dak was asked about that yesterday.
I mean, it's an every year conversation, whether it's myself, Zach Martin, CeeDee Lamb, now Micah Parsons. It's part of it in a sense. Now, is it, it's something that I wish that we, any of us, are going through? Absolutely not. But I think Mike is doing a hell of a job with it being here. He's a great teammate, showing up, obviously, not just on the field and being focused, but whether it be in the camaraderie, hanging out, dinner. He's not just doing it to sign off and say, "Hey, Jerry, look at me." But he wants to be out there practicing, and honestly, I'm glad he's not. He can't do that to himself. That's the business of it, and that's the business of a holdout. And so I do think he's taken some great steps of being here. I don't know if there's a correct way to handle it. To be honest with you, I will say that I think he deserves to get paid. Think he should get paid, and ultimately, if I'm going off of the history of what I've seen, he will get paid. Hopefully, it's sooner than later.
Dude, he sounded
angry.
He sounded exhausted for Micah.
Mm-hmm.
And he sounded, again, this is really reading between the lines, like, yeah, this organization puts all of us through this for some reason. That's what I heard.
That's basically it. And, I mean, look, you know, and Bobby's done a good job with this, like, explaining their philosophy, how, you know, even if like at Dak at, you know, $40 million, that contract he was on a couple years ago, right? Letting it go all the way to the very end. And even though they signed him for 60, where they could have maybe got him at 53, because they had him at 40, they still see that as a handful of $1 million net gain over the time. I get that. That makes sense. It makes perfect sense. And I wish they would kind of explain that.
Bingo.
But I think they're giving away some trade secret if they do that.
Yeah.
What's your point?
Yep.
There's that. There's also the idea of, I think if they so publicly stated some of that, it would also impact their negotiations with guys. Like it would have guys like, oh, okay, I understand the way you negotiate. So now that causes me, not necessarily a trade secret thing, but for agents and players, it causes them to now change the way that they go. Okay, I have no reason to show up. Micah would have, if Micah knows that's their strategy, Micah has no reason to show up to training camp. Go, no, I'm a flat holdout now. Because I know what you're going to do. You're going to dangle the carrot, get me through to the end of the year, tag me. Nope, we're not doing that. I'm not showing up. And I think they feel like it's just one of the cards they have. Now, they'll pay guys before that if the deal looks like it makes sense to them. Or in Micah's instance, it makes sense to do it because that's such a big cap number. It's $24 million. You can lower that with an extension this year. So I think that that's part of it. But yeah, it's Dak specifically. I think that little chuckle at the beginning, it's like, all right, slow down, censor yourself a little here.
Has the G-Bag Nation moved to the home of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Another G-Bag embarrassing interview. We have a loaded show for you today, y'all. A final Billy Currington ticket giveaway during the 7 o'clock expressway. Worst take at 8 this morning. 8:40, Brian brought us from Cali. And 9 o'clock, the former GM Steve Phillips on the Rangers trade deadline moves. G-Bag on the home of the Buccaneers? Next. Good morning and shout out to the 6 a.m. Club, our best audience of the entire show. If you are wondering what's going on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube, RJ Choppy paying homage to the Hulkster. Hulk Hogan passing away yesterday at the age of 71 from cardiac arrest.
Man, I did go down a rabbit hole. Pulled some clips for Aiden and Peyton. You know, I'm excited. I'm just, it's a Childhood ended kind of day.
Yeah.
I never understood what my dad meant when he said, like, when Mickey Mantle died, he's like, my childhood felt like it ended. This felt like that today, yesterday. Now I know what he felt like.
Chubby's got a Mount Rushmore prepared. We got the all-time T heel turn moment in sports. Of course, we went through the complicated legacy with the personal stuff and the racism at 6 o'clock. In case you're just tuning in, you're like, what the hell, guys? Don't praise him 100%. Hey, my badge of honor is he blocked me. One of, I think, two. Him and Whitlock. Had me blocked. Yep. And I hate Jason Whitlock's guts still today. 877-881-1053. Frank LaFrango, injury attorney text line. As we have a Little League reversal. The story that we just talked about in the payload yesterday. We have an update.
Marco Rocco has been freed.
Yes. Marco Rocco.
Good one. Marco Rocco is the Little Leaguer.
Kids still play that, by the way.
Marco Polo?
Dude.
I don't know that my kids don't play that.
My daughters the other day did not know, and maybe you guys won't know. My daughters did not know the phrase Ollie Ollie Oxen Free. They have no idea what that means. They heard it and they're like, what is that? And I was like, it's for hide and seek. And they were like, nobody says that. I was like, oh, okay. I guess no one says that anymore.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it meant.
But you knew the phrase. Right? Yeah. You knew it was during hide and seek. They'd never heard it said. They had no idea.
I was surprised that my kids knew the Feel So Good song, the Chuck Mangione song.
I don't know that song.
You know it. You know it. This is where you got to get up here and dance.
Sounds like Ricky Ricardo.
The rhythm of the night.
I don't think that's it.
Oh, that's DeBarge.
I don't know this yet.
What's the flugelhorn?
Is he going to sing?
You don't know this?
No.
Oh, there it is. I got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was in my house all day. Big Ralph. Love this one.
Why do we have this song?
He died.
He died too.
He died. Oh, yeah. Like half my 98% of my childhood ended yesterday. This guy died at 84. Peyton sent this to us. I was stunned that you knew who this was.
No, I didn't. I just saw TMZ and I was like, someone in this group chat has to know who this is. He's 84 years old. Someone's got to know.
But this is on King of the Hill. I guess this they play this during King of the Hill, too.
I love King of the Hill. I've never heard this.
Oh.
I have no idea what this is from.
Just the, is it fugal or frugal horn? It's a cheap horn. Very cheap horn. It's frugal. it's a very cheap horn. But he died horn. Too, man. Oh, but I had no idea that the kids listened to this. They knew this one. But, that suspended Little Leaguer, Marco Rocco, went to a judge.
For the bat flip.
For the bat flip. Remember, he was suspended for the state championship game to go to the Little League World Series because he flipped the bat. He did a bat flip. Now, this was quite the bat flip. This made Bautista's look like he just dropped the bat and ran it first. This thing, I mean, he threw this thing, helicopter, Petey Pablo style, up in the air. They suspended him. But the judge...
To the judge?
The judge. Gloucester County Chancery Judge Robert Mailstein said the Little League hadn't been clear or consistent about its stance on bat flipping, and therefore, this was an arbitrary suspension.
No!
And they suspended him. You know what? I'm going to use this...
And they suspended him, or they...
They revoked the suspension.
Okay.
I'm going to use this on my next speeding ticket.
What are you gonna say?
Well, I mean, look, I mean, have you let people go before at 78 miles an hour? I mean, right?
Yeah.
At 84?
Yeah.
Do you pull everybody over at 84, or is it clear and consistent?
You better hope someone's a Hogan fan today.
Yeah, that's right.
And you get pulled over.
That's right.
Man, I get the idea of, like, if it's not a sportsmanship thing, I do understand the, like,
safety.
You're just tossing an aluminum bat in the air and, like, waiting for it to fall on God knows who.
Yeah.
Like, I do get a little bit of the resistance.
All right, Roberto, why could G-Bag move on from covering the Cowboys to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Yeah, this is an embarrassing story, I would feel like. So Desmond Watson is a rookie defensive tackle out of Florida. His nickname is Big Dez. And Big Dez is a guy who played at a pretty heavyweight while he was at Florida. He was known to be little under 400 pounds for most of his time. Well, he is at Tampa Bay Buccaneers training camp as an undrafted free agent, and he is weighing in now at 460 pounds.
Drop it.
460 pounds.
What?
So he is a giant of a man, and he's somebody who they ended up putting on the NFI non-football injury list specifically for weight questions.
Speaking of big guys.
It's got nothing to do with football or anything else. This is about him being just – Had yourself a massive
rip on Sando yet, Rowdy?
Todd Bowles said, it's about him trying to get better, to be a healthier player, and getting him on the field a little more. That's kind of where I'm at right now. He's working at it, and we're working with him, and that's all you can ask right now. So pretty embarrassing that you end up getting put on the NFI for basically being too big, but it did make me think if G-Bag worked in Tampa.
And the reason Bobby started thinking about that, in case you somehow have missed the audio highlight or low light this week, they had on Rowdy Tellez the other day.
What would be a Rowdy Tellez concession item if you got to design it?
Trying to think. Anything probably with brisket. I love brisket. So like a good brisket sandwich, maybe some like onion strings on it, and like a sweet barbecue sauce.
So they proceeded to ask Rowdy over and over and reference his weight.
Yeah, and so that's kind of their big focus. They love the weight issue. That's their favorite thing. So I was trying to envision what kind of questions would they ask to Desmond Watson if they were at Tampa Bay Buccaneers training camp right now. And these are some of the ones I think they go with.
And by the way, behind the scenes, Bobby came up with a mock G-Bag interview.
God, so great. Oh, they played it.
They played it?
They played it the other
day. How did they get a hold of it?
I sent it to him because I was like, we're not using it. I was like, we're not using it. So I was like, if you want to play, you can.
How long is it?
It's a minute.
Grab that, Peyton. Now that they played it. This was Bobby came up with an AI G-Bag interview. And we didn't even need to play it because the original questions were so offensive.
Right. They were. We didn't even need to. The original had so much bite to it, literally, because it's a food thing.
Yeah.
So much bite to it, we didn't even play.
Yeah, and that was the thing. So G-Bag had done this interview, and it was received rather poorly by Rowdy Tellez, obviously. And so I don't think that would stop them from asking Big Dez questions. They'd probably emphasize, man, you are big. So here's some things that I think that they would probably ask him. Desmond, you went to Florida. I read you always wanted to be a Gator. Did that conflict with you being an elephant? Desmond, talk about your mission to raise diabetes awareness just by people seeing you on a football field. I know you were born in Plant City, Florida. Is that an ironic name? Do they not have plants there for you to eat, you carnivorous beast? And then maybe throw in something like, would you rather be known as the fat Watson or the accused sexual deviant Watson? I might take the latter.
Man. Yeah. So there it is. The interview experts, the G-Bag Nation, if they were on the home of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 877-881-1053. Frank LaFranco, injury attorney, text line. We are live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube here on DFW Sports Station. Did you send it over to him?
I'm trying to get it up on my phone.
Okay.
So give me 1 second here.
All right. We also have to get to training camp over and unders. Bobby and Choppy have a brand new song for Oxnard that we have to get to as well.
I think it's good.
I think it's a pretty good. It's a well done. It's not like, you know, it's a parody song, of course, obviously, but it's very well produced.
I thought that we ended up putting together something really nice. Yeah. I thought your vocals sounded really passionate and bought in, and I was very impressed by you.
And I'm gonna nominate another show here at the station in Worst Take at 8 o'clock for a training camp hissy fit that they apparently threw over Bobby's last training camp song. So I'm going to put The Fan After Dark right in the spotlight at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, baby.
I can't blame them, though, just because I understand, Nitro, you feel a little neglected. You're not getting the opportunity to talk nearly as much because those Texas Rangers are playing so frequently. So I understand the hesitancy. I understand people being a little frustrated by that, and they just don't want to feel excluded. That's all. They want to be grouped in with everybody else.
I mean, look, I wouldn't know how that felt when I was doing nights. They let me go everywhere, but they saw Superstar.
Oh, yeah. That's the biggest thing. That's the
difference thing.
Oh, you were, yeah, the Superstar was Grego.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. All right, so this was the AI interview that I thought was too insensitive to air, but of course, G-Bag.
No.
There's no such thing.
You know, coming off of not playing a ton, just trying to put the barrel on the ball, put together good at bats.
So you say you're not playing a ton. So you are down under 2,000 pounds now. That's awesome for you.
Rowdy to Lasagna joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. So, like, how have things been so far, like, you know, in the clubhouse?
Trying to find where I am, you know, find where kind of fitting in.
Oh, rowdy. They have to have chairs that you fit. It's a major league clubhouse, dog.
Brad and Trace Latus joining us on the G-Bag Nation. So tell us about who you are behind the burger grease.
You know, I like to smile and laugh and make jokes. So
yeah, you chubsters usually have to make up for it with a funny bone. More you love, I always say. Rowdy Tater Tots with us on The Fan. So were you always such an adorable little butterball?
No. I think growing up, I was actually kind of the opposite.
Really? That just seems so impossible to believe. I just can't envision you being Rowdy Toledas.
Yeah, that's a great point, General. What was being skinny like for you? Did you just hate it so much that you've never gone back to it?
Dude.
Hello?
You still with us, Router Sugar?
Rotisserie Chicken, you there? Okay, I think we lost him.
Which, when I said that, you thought that was an exaggeration. That's almost the energy
that
came
out. That's almost the same energy they brought at poor Rowdy. I felt so bad. I literally still remember exactly where I was when Rowdy completely laid out on the, have you had a brisket sando yet, Rowdy? When he completely laid out of that question, I was at the Davis and 114 stoplight. I will never forget that.
Remember that, like the OJ chase?
Yes.
Sean thought we had stopped the clip the first time he heard it because he just paused so long. Yeah. And then Dawson did just still circle back. Had a brisket sando yet, Rowdy?
Will that be the no
doubt? Had yourself a brisket sando yet, Rowdy?
Will that be the no doubt winner of Worst Take? 8 o'clock, special time today because we got the former GM, friend of the show, Steve Phillips, talking about the Rangers. And speaking of size, Choppy says the Rangers can add their own big dumper. And no, it's not Rowdy Tellez. And how much have they moved up the power rankings? We'll talk about it as they get set for the Braves tonight in Arlington on the official home of the Rangers next.